So today we have a pretty funny title for our message, How to Make a Pickle. It is the last in our Good and Beautiful God series. This is probably the chapter that I enjoyed as much or more than the rest of them. I really thought that he just kind of brought the whole message of the book together with this one chapter, and so I'm excited to get into it. It really deals with what Brent talked about in his children's message. And again, you know, we couldn't do this any better if we planned it. God just kind of puts things together and makes it work. We're talking about the hurried life that we live and how that impacts our spiritual growth and our spiritual well-being. And so I want to just start with a quote from James Brian Smith. We're going to be in Luke 10 today, by the way, so if you want to flip to that and put your finger there, and we'll get to that in just a second. But I want to start with this quote. He says, "Hurriedness is an inner attitude that is not necessarily caused by outer circumstances. Boredom is one of its symptoms. The solution to the problem is counterintuitive, being present where you are." So I want to know if you're present this morning. Are you thinking about what you're going to do after this is over, and you're worried because it's already, you know, 20 till 12, and he's just now getting to the sermon, and I've got stuff to do? I hope not. And if you are, just take a deep breath. Calm down. It's going to be okay. I just want you to be present in this moment, not to hear what I have to say, but to hear what God has to say. And I think that we're all going to be just fine, and when we get out, and we'll go on with our day after that. So we began the 42 days of prayer a week ago, and I would imagine that by now, maybe some of you are struggling. Like Charlene said, it's a tough thing to push through. And, you know, I don't know how many of you have ever been on like a diet or something like that, but usually the second week tends to be harder than the first week, because now you're kind of, the distractions of life are starting to bid for your attention even louder, and they're saying, hey, hold on a minute. You're doing all this stuff and you're forgetting about A, B, and C. And so before we even get into this, I just want to encourage you to stick with it. You know, the hurried life is going to try to distract you from it. But again, it's not about the 42 days. It's not about the clever devotionals that Manny writes, because I don't think they're that great anyway. But it's about being attentive to God and what he's doing in your life. And I think Brent said it best. You know, it's not about maybe hearing him in those 30 or 60 minutes of quiet, but those 30 or 60 minutes of quiet are preparing us for the rest of the day so that we could be more attentive to God working in our lives. And I think that's awesome. So today we look at a familiar story from Luke 10. We're going to look at Jesus and a couple of his friends, Martha and Mary. So we're going to start in verse 38, and I'll just read if you follow along with me. "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Which brings us to our false narrative for the day. The false narrative of our world and our culture is that Martha's way is best. Jeremy Rifkin, a Christian author, writes this, "We're a nation in love with speed. We drive fast, eat fast, make love fast. We're obsessed with breaking records and shortening time spans. We digest our life, condense our experiences, and compress our thoughts. We are a culture surrounded by memos and commercials. While other cultures might believe that haste makes waste, we are convinced that speed reflects alertness, power, and success. Americans are always in a hurry." And the problem with being in a hurry, because there's not necessarily anything wrong with trying to accomplish a lot of things, but the problem with being in a hurry is that the faster we go, the less we enjoy life. We don't take time to look for those moments like Brent was talking about where God is saying, hey, over here, check this out. Look what I'm doing here. Look what I'm doing there. Because we're so focused on the tasks at hand and accomplishing all these things on our to-do list that we forget that God is at work around us as well. Our impatience has made life a dizzying blur. And one major result of this, probably the biggest impact to us in the context of eternity, is that it influences our spiritual growth in a negative way. If we're always in a hurry, if we're always trying to fill in what I call those white spaces on the calendar, I don't know what calendar you use, but I use one on my MacBook. And so the places that I have things to do are colored. And so, like, if it's something for the church, it's green. And if it's something for my personal life or my family, it's yellow. And if it's something for school, it's orange. And the places that I don't have stuff to do are just white, and they're open. And a lot of times we tend to want to fill in those white spaces with color. And when we do that, we lose out on the things that God wants to do and teach us. It's not always about doing more. I want to continue Jeremy Rifkin's quote. He goes on to say, "We have quickened the pace of life only to become less patient. We have become more organized but less spontaneous, less joyful. We are better prepared to act on the future but less able to enjoy the present and reflect on the past. Today we have surrounded ourselves with time-saving technological gadgetry only to be overwhelmed by plans that cannot be carried out, appointments that cannot be honored, schedules that cannot be fulfilled, and deadlines that cannot be met." I wonder if you know who invented the clock. Those of you that have read the book with me, don't answer this. Does anybody know who invented the clock? It was the monks. The monks. And they were concerned with dedicating portions of their life to prayer and other portions of their life to work. And so they invented the clock to help them keep track. Saint Benedict was a monk, and he authored this writing called The Rule of Saint Benedict. And in it, he gives guidelines for the monks to live by in order to grow spiritually. And one of the things that he writes is, "Idleness is the enemy of the soul. Therefore, all the community must be occupied at definite times in manual labor, and at other times in Lectio Divina." Now, Lectio Divina, you probably remember, means praying the scriptures, reading with the heart, letting the scriptures be our words to God, in a sense. And so, basically what he's saying is that there's really two things in our life that are going to elevate our souls: hard work and prayer. That's it. Those are the two things that he wanted the monks to be concerned about above all else: hard work and prayer. The monks took this very seriously, and while they felt hard work was one way to honor God, they also spent 4 to 5 hours a day in reading scripture and prayer. 4 to 5 hours a day. We're having a hard time doing 30 minutes to an hour. And I'm just as guilty. I'm having a hard time with it too. I wrote this stuff, so it's probably even harder for me because I'm going, "Really? You wrote that?" But yeah, 4 to 5 hours a day. I don't know if I shared this with you. I shared it with someone recently. The church that's growing the Christian church that's growing the fastest of any church in the world is in Korea. And the pastor of that church was interviewed one time, and he was asked, "What is the secret to the success of this church? How is it growing so fast?" And he said, "We listen and we obey." And as the interviewer got deeper, he found out that that pastor prayed for his church and for his own spiritual growth for up to 5 hours a day. 5 hours a day. Now, I want to do that for you. I'm going to have to start slow and work my way up. But man, how dedicated to God, and how much faith does he put in prayer to be able to set aside, okay, you know what? This might be important, that might be important, but it doesn't take out my time for prayer. 4 to 5 hours a day is what I'm dedicating to prayer. Man, it's humbling, challenging, and encouraging at the same time. So the monks used the clock to help them become more spiritual. But how have we used the clock? We've used it to mechanize our existence. People used to be seen as fluid beings, you know, kind of able to go with the flow, and we've started to view people as machines. The Industrial Revolution brought forth this new idea of being more and more efficient. And it's just invaded our culture in such a way that now, if you're not using every last moment of your day to be efficient, you're almost looked down upon by our society. How many of you guys have ever gone to a fast food restaurant and you saw that the line was too long and so you parked and went inside? Be honest. Be honest. Isn't that silly? That is how we operate in this world. We can't wait the extra 3 or 5 minutes that it's going to take to drive around, so we park the car and go inside. Satan doesn't always attack us from the front as the red devil. He doesn't always put these sexual temptations in front of us or these other attacks in front of us. Sometimes he sneaks in with a false narrative. And this is probably one of the biggest false narratives that he'll use. James writes this: "Sometimes he simply inserts false narratives into our mind. Once we buy into that narrative, we head for destruction. The narratives often sound almost Christian. That's why they tend to slip in so easily. We may even think that we're doing a good job. Then one day we wake up and realize that the things that are most important to us, time with God and with our family, emotional and physical health, were sacrificed on the altar of achievement, and we have nothing to show for it. Isn't that a sneaky trick? He makes us think that we're doing good until one day we realize that all the things that were most important to us were pushed aside. Did you know that in 1967, futurists told Senate that by 1985, thanks to technology, Americans would only work 22-hour work weeks and only for 27 hours a year, and that the average worker would retire by age 38. Any 38 and above, 38 to 50-year-olds retired in here? Anybody only work 22-hour work days? Anybody only work 27 weeks a year? Here's the truth. Instead, leisure time in America has decreased by 37% since 1973. People stop taking time to enjoy the things in life that are most important and put more work and more productivity in instead. And now here's Jesus' narrative. So the false narrative is Martha's way is better. So Jesus' narrative is obviously Mary's way is better. We cannot love, think, eat, laugh, or pray in a hurry. Let me say that again. We cannot love, think, eat, laugh, or pray in a hurry. You can try, but you're not going to be fulfilled. The things that are most dear in life, the things that help us attain that abundant life that God wants so much for us, take time. They take time. Taking time is especially important in our spiritual lives. We can't do anything important in a hurry. I should write that down and put that somewhere. We can't do anything important in a hurry. When Martha asked Jesus to talk to Mary about her decision of being lazy, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is a need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." Now, I don't think any of us in this room have a struggle with trying to decide what bad things to eliminate in our life. And by that I mean, it's not like we're deciding between should I study my Bible or should I be a habitual drug user today. I don't think that those are the decisions we're making. We're deciding between lots of good things. The problem is that there can be too much of a good thing. We have so many things going on in our life, and they're all wonderful things, that we have to get rid of some things. And the sad truth is, a lot of times we get rid of those things that are most important. We eliminate our time with God. We eliminate building relationships with people. We eliminate family dinners in the evenings. We eliminate those things at the cost of being more productive. And then we look back and we realize that all that time was wasted. Jesus said Mary had chosen better, that she had found one thing that we need, and that thing is time to listen to his teaching. That's the one thing. Jesus said, Mary found the one thing, and this is it, sitting at my feet, enjoying my presence, being with me. Now, I know that the 30 or 60 or however long that we're spending time with God this week is hard, but that is the one thing that we need. That is what is going to set us free from this captivity of this hurried sickness, as James Brian Smith calls it. The world wants to pull us away from this important thing. Now, was Martha in and of itself, was her way bad? No. She was serving, and there is a time for service. She looked at the situation and decided, or Mary looked at the situation and decided that Jesus was in her home, and being with him was the most important thing. Jesus is with us. He's among us. He's present with us daily. And the most important thing is to acknowledge that, to pay attention to him, to listen for him, to look for him. Too many of us are trying to serve God without really listening to him. There's a time to serve, but listening to Jesus supersedes that. That's the most important thing. Because how can we know what God's calling us to do if we haven't taken the time to hear him? And that's what sparked this whole 42 days of prayer anyways, is we want a vision. We want to know what God wants for us as individuals, for our families, and for our church. Now, we could keep guessing and guessing until he finally decides that, yeah, that's it, and blesses it. Or we can just take the time to listen and do it right the first time. Joseph Carlson, another author, writes this: life is really nothing more than a series of present moments, one right after the other, to be experienced. You are always living in this moment, will you live it present or absent? You ever think about life like that? We're living in a series of present moments, one right after the other. It's not about what's going to happen. It's not about what just happened. It's about the here and the now. Are you going to be concerned and worried about the people that you're with, what you're doing now? Or are you going to be so in the future or in the past that you can't even be any good to the people that you're with? So now we get to the most important part of the sermon, how to make a pickle. Anybody ever made a pickle? I've never made one. I like to eat them. I guess what you need is a cucumber, right? You need a cucumber to start with. And then you've got to make this mixture of stuff that you put it in. Now, if I take the cucumber and I dunk it in the stuff and pull it out, do I have a pickle? I've just got a wet cucumber, don't I? Now, that's the problem with us as Christians. A lot of us are just wet cucumbers. God wants us to be pickles. Now, I read that it takes about 6 weeks to make a pickle. Now, isn't that coincidental that 42 days is 6 weeks? I didn't plan that. Now, I'm not saying that it takes 6 weeks for us to become mature disciples of Christ, because I think that it takes a lot longer than that. But man, 6 weeks is a good start. And Charlene said that she heard that it took a year to make a habit of something. I actually heard that it took 6 weeks to make a habit. I don't know how much truth there is to that either. But man, if we commit to just being attentive to God, I'll be honest with you, I really don't care if you use the devotions. I really don't. I mean, I spend a lot of time on them, and it'd be nice if you did. But the most important thing to me is that you spend time being attentive to God each day. That you really seek out His will for your life. That you really seek out where you fit best in the kingdom. That you really seek out what it is that He's calling you to do today to be more like His Son. And I think if we do that and commit to doing that for the 42 days, that day 43 and beyond are going to be a lot easier. And it's going to become a part of our life. And pretty soon, we're going to miss it if we miss it. You know what I'm saying? I don't want the hurried life to steal the one thing that God created us for. And that's to enjoy Him. If you read the scriptures, that's really what life is about. He wants us to enjoy Him. He made us to enjoy us, and in return, He wants us to enjoy Him. It's not about being in a hurry. It's not about wondering what we're missing if we're taking time away from everything to just sit at His feet. It's not about running around doing all these things that Martha was doing. It's about being like Mary and just sitting at His feet to hear from Him, to be with Him, to become more like Him, so that we can bless other people, and so that the kingdom can continue to grow, and so that we can have that John 10:10 life. I'm stuck on that because I think, man, that's it. That is the life God wants for us. Life to the full. And the only way to get life to the full is to be plugged into the source, and that's Jesus. So I know it's hard. Week 2 is not going to be any easier, probably. Stick it out. See if day 43 and beyond are easier because you made the conscious effort to be attentive to God. And if you do want to continue the devotions, the new booklets are out on the table. I did send the email to everyone that I have emails for, and it's on the Facebook page, just like last week, so week 2 is out there for you. Continue to share. I mean, I've gotten some emails this week, testimonies and things like that. I would love to start putting those on the Facebook page just so we know that this is not a journey that we make alone, that other people are going through the same things we're going through now. Share your joys, your victories, but also your struggles. You know, if it was a hard day for you, share that so that someone else that had a hard day can know, man, I'm not alone in this. I think it's awesome that we're all journeying in this together. And I want to also encourage one more thing, because I've heard from a couple people, you know, I missed this day or I missed that day or I'm having a hard time. That's okay. Don't go back and try to do 3 in one day. If you missed it, you missed it. Move on. Okay, this is not a legalistic thing that says at the end we have to have read all 42 days of prayer. It's not about that. So if you missed it, if you didn't even do week 1, it's gone. Okay? Let's start fresh today and move forward and enjoy God and be in His presence. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for your presence and for your word. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from the time that you lived, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we can be more like Mary. Martha's way wasn't necessarily bad in and of itself, Lord, but man, there's times where you just call us to sit at your feet, to enjoy your presence, to hear from you, to just be children in your lap, so to speak. Lord, I pray that we start getting that. And Lord, as the process continues, I pray that that we can really desire to be pickles. I think there's a lot of wet cucumbers in the church, but I think you desire all of us to have that true transformation, to become something completely different. And I think this is the start of that. So just pray that you continue to work in our lives. Lord, just remind us often to return to you if we've forgotten. If we start to get distracted by the world and the ways of the world, help us to just turn around and run back to you and sit at your feet again. And as always, we'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.